How's everybody doing? I just felt like the Lord kind of confirmed he really wants to talk about the Father's love. And, you know, today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. All right, awesome. So yeah, I'm feeling like the Lord really wants to talk about his love today. Does anybody remember what happened Father's Day in 1995? Yeah? No? Something significant. I'm not talking about like in your personal life, but something significant took place on Father's Day 1995. Does anybody know? Something very significant in the spirit. Let me give you a little clue there. Father's out. Well, close. Yeah, it was connected to that. Yeah, but you know, Brownsville, the revival at Brownsville broke out on Father's Day 1995. Has anybody really looked into or know about any of that? It's just like amazing. I mean, I want to say millions of people were touched by it. I don't know. It's just something to like kind of remember, like the Father, he is like moving. He wants to move in our body. I've been praying. I'll be honest. I've been praying like, God, it's been 1995. It's been how many years? Is that 15 years? God, we need you to pour out your spirit again. That's been my prayer. And I encourage you guys, go on YouTube. Like, it's powerful. They have like a documentary of it and everything. Of like, they were videotaping the whole thing. And it was powerful. I mean, you had people waiting for hours out in the Florida heat, like wrapped around like their whole property, just trying to get in because people heard that God was moving somewhere. If there is a true, authentic move of God, you don't need like a commercial or like a good advertising or a marketing, you know. If there is a move of God, it will bring in the hungry. And that's been our prayer here. That's been my prayer. God, do it again. And I might sound like a broken record that I might keep talking about this stuff, but I think it's important for us to remember the purposes and to remember the prophetic words that God has over our region and over our area. And, you know, there was a word, and we talked about it. We've talked about it many times. Derek Prince had a word here that in eastern North Carolina, that on the coast, we would see a move of God greater than the Welsh revival. And, you know, ever since we kind of almost like, it's like we dug that back up probably a couple months ago. I've been reading this book on the Welsh revival, and it was tremendous. And I was just like, God, if you do something here, oh my gosh, greater than the Welsh revival, I mean, do it, Lord. I don't know. I don't want us to pray. Just do it. So that's what we're after. We're seeking to facilitate and to just be partakers of God moving in our city, in our region. And anyway, I just thought it was really cool to remember, like you know, the times God has really moved. And the Brownsville thing was awesome. So anyway, switching gears a little bit here, there was a real emphasis on salvation in that revival, but it was birthed out of a move in Toronto, which was people call the Father's blessing, right? Have you guys heard of that? The Father's outpouring. People call it different things, where there was like this sovereign move of God, basically in Toronto, that where people began to experience the love of the Father, and it like transformed probably millions of people. And I just feel like God wants to talk about his love today. And even what Josh was singing about the Father's love. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 3:16. You know, just as Travis was talking about, Jesus was the second Adam, right? In Romans, it talks about like how he was the second Adam. The first Adam kind of messed it up a little bit, but we probably would have all done the same thing. And Jesus came as the second Adam, and he came as a man on purpose. He was totally God, totally man, but he came to earth for many reasons. And Travis was even talking about that, about taking the authority back that Adam lost. But it was also to be an example, a perfect example of how we are to live in the kingdom and how we are to live as sons of our Heavenly Father. He was a perfect example of it. And so a lot of times when we read the stories, you know, the Gospels about everything that Jesus did, we kind of separate it from ourselves and we kind of say, you know, well, that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. He could do whatever he wanted. But really, he was in complete dependence of the Holy Spirit. If we can go into Scripture and clarify all that. In Philippians 2, it said he emptied himself. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself, became a man, and he lived as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, doing everything that he did as an example to us to do multiple things. Obviously, the cross was first and foremost to reconcile man to God, but also to be an exact, a perfect example of how Adam was supposed to be, the second Adam, and how we now, as sons and daughters adopted into this family, what we have available and what we are to live and to walk in and how we are actually supposed to walk in it. I'm a real practical guy. If you guys heard me teaching before, I like practical stuff. Don't give me fluffy stuff. Give me something I can apply to my life right now and then and on Monday morning. So like Jesus, and we've talked about this, you know, probably a couple months ago, but I think this is important. Matthew 3:16, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Now, we've talked about this before. Jesus hadn't done one recorded miracle yet. He didn't do anything yet. And yet, here's the Father baptizing, filling him with the Holy Spirit and pouring out his love over and saying, this is my Son. I love him and I am well pleased with him. Now, this happened twice and that it was recorded in the Gospels. I bet it happened on a continual basis, but this happened twice for, I think, our benefit to understand Jesus didn't start his ministry. He didn't start this purpose that God had for his life until he received something. Does that make sense? He didn't start the miraculous. He didn't start raising the dead. He didn't start really even preaching until he was filled with the Holy Spirit and with the love of the Father. Because he knew that we would need the same thing. That we could not do ministry, we could not live this Christian life unless we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are filled with the love of the Father. And then out of that love that we experience from him, ministry will naturally come out. It won't be a religious thing, it won't be a forced thing, it will naturally be a byproduct of our walk and our life, okay? So this is an example. So, you know, I want to kind of break this down a little bit. Number one, why is this important? Number one, we need it. You know, he made you and I in such a way that we will be forever incomplete until we receive his love for us. You were designed and created. When you were formed in your mother's womb, God formed a piece of you to like need to be filled with the love of the Father. We need it. And if you don't believe me, look at everybody who's searching the world, trying to fill themselves with all kinds of stuff. And it never fits, right? And it never fills them up. They always want more. They always need something else. But really what they really need, they're searching for, is to fill that place in their heart with the love of the Father. We're all seeking it, whether you like it or you know it or not. Because God made you that way. He made me that way. You know, I mean, we were literally designed to be the object of his love, the target of his love. That's why he made us, to be the object of love, his love. So until we are walking in that, we will constantly be searching for something else. You know, when I'm sitting in my chair, reading a magazine or whatever, and they come near me. You know, they come running around. You know, you guys know my kids. They're constantly running in my house. It's kind of crazy. You guys have been in my house. And, like, when they run by my chair, I can't help but stick my hand out there and grab a hold of them and just let them be the object and the target of my love as a father. I can't help it. And, like, I just give them a hug, kiss them, wrestle them, whatever. I have to. It is like, you know, our Father's the same way. When we get near, he has to. He just can't help himself because, first off, he is love. He's a perfect father. I'm like a, you know, unperfect father, and I want to do that. How much more when we get near him, he wants to grab a hold of us. He wants to give us a hug. He wants to love on us. We are the target of the love of the Father. You. All right. Number two, one thing we need to learn from this, Jesus' example, is we can't earn it. We don't earn this love. It's undeserved. You can't do enough good things. You can't, like, pray enough prayers. You can't, I don't know, hang out with the most spiritual people. Like, you cannot earn this thing. You cannot earn the love of the Father. And, you know, Jesus, he didn't do anything yet in his ministry until to receive this love. And the one thing that qualifies us and that qualified him to receive that love was he was a son. Okay? Now, when my kids, they didn't choose me to be their dad, but they're my kids. I can't change that. My DNA is in them. They can't change that they're a son or a daughter of mine. The same is with us. It is who you are. This is so important. Because I've been in ministry for, I don't know, what, 20 years now. And probably the number one thing that keeps people from knowing the love of the Father, from knowing God, is they think they're unworthy to receive it. And they think the enemy has kind of tricked many of us to believe, and he is constantly tempting us to believe that you have to earn it somehow. That you have to do something, or you have to be holy enough, or you have to, like, not sin 5 times a day, whatever. We've believed this lie that, like, somehow we earn it in some way. And that's actually, let me encourage you to, like, when that thought comes to your mind, or when the enemy comes along to you, and when you're spending time with the Lord and you're hearing that voice, it's like, oh man, you did all this today, you did all of that today. God doesn't love you. You're not going to receive. You've got to pray harder. You've got to repent of all, you know, 10,000 sins you've done in the past week or whatever. You know, like, when that voice comes to you, you need to recognize that is the enemy. And he knows that if you get connected, if you get filled with the love of the Father, that you will do damage to his kingdom, and you will be changed, and you will be doing the works that Jesus did and even more. And so when that voice comes, or when that idea or that thought comes, you can just say it's actually an affront to the cross. It's like saying, Jesus, what you did on the cross wasn't enough. And goodness, what Jesus did on the cross was completely enough. He said, it is finished. Does that make sense? All right. So, and then I talked about earlier, you know, number three, what qualifies us to be loved is that you are a son and you're a daughter. That's what qualifies you. My kids, they didn't earn something or do something to be my kids. 1 John 3:1, you can turn if you want. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. That is who you are. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you are born again, you are born again as a son and a daughter of God. Galatians 3:26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." You didn't earn it. It wasn't because you did a bunch of good stuff or you didn't sin so much one day. It was completely by faith in the accomplished work of the cross that Jesus did for us. You became a son and a daughter. You are now a target of God's love, the Father's love. In Galatians, this is just kind of hammer it on home. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Daddy, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." So you guys are sons and daughters, whether you like it or not. So when the enemy comes to you and you're spending time with the Lord and he's saying, you got to do this, you got to do that, to receive God's love for you, to have intimate relationship with God, you can just say, shut up. I am a son. I am a daughter. And it was nothing on my own, thank God. It was solely based on the finished work of the cross. All right, so, and I want to go through real quick. You know, when there's prayers in Scripture, you know, those are the best prayers to pray. Did you know that? Anybody take a guess why? Because what? You can't mess them up. That's right. Anybody guess why? Praying the prayers of Scripture, of the Word of God. You know it's his will. That's right. You know it's his will because it's Scripture. It wasn't Paul necessarily. We're going to read in Ephesians 3. And it was the Holy Spirit, right? It is the will of God for us to receive the things that were prayed for in Scripture. So I encourage you guys to pray prayers in Scripture because you can have confidence. I am praying the very will of God for my life or whoever you're praying for. Okay? So let's turn. There's two prayers in Scripture. I think kind of stress the importance of us knowing the Father's love for us. Let's turn John 17:25. So we got Jesus here praying, you know, the famous prayer of John 17, where he's talking to the Father here. All right, it says, "O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has never acknowledged you, and the revelation of your mercy, yet I have always known you, and these believers know without a doubt that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them," and this is the Amplified, "overwhelming their heart, and I may be in them." So you've got Jesus, the Son of God. How many knows when the Son of God prays something, it's going to happen, right? We know that all that he prayed in John 17, it will take place. Some of these things are yet to come. But this is the will of God for your life. that you would receive the same love that Jesus received from the Father, that you would be filled with it, overwhelming your heart, that you would be overflowing in this thing. All right, let's turn to Ephesians 3:14. You know, I've heard this. I pray this scripture a lot. It's like one of my go-tos of like, God, this is, if anything that I, this is what I'm asking, the one thing that I'm seeking, the one thing I'm asking. This is one of those prayers that I pray a lot. And we've talked about it actually a lot lately. And I've heard it all. I heard it like all over the place. I think I heard it on the radio one day. I was like, oh, that's, man, I'm hearing it a lot. And I think it's, I think the Lord's speaking this right now. So I'm going to read from the Amplified. So I encourage you guys, if that kind of messes you up while you're reading along, just kind of listen. I think this is really good. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, God the first and ultimate Father. May he grant you, out of the riches of his glory, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. That's an awesome prayer. You see why I pray that prayer a lot? God, I want to know your love. I want to experience your love. I want to be filled beyond what I can even comprehend. So number one here, there sounds like there's a contradiction here. In this scripture, it sounds like there's a comprehension, something, it doesn't make sense. How can something that surpasses knowledge be known? Do you see that in there? Verse 19, it says, and that you may come to know practically through experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. And then the Amplified goes on to say that mere knowledge is without experience. And we've talked about this. Travis talked about this a couple weeks ago, about that knowing there, I believe is the Greek word yada, and it actually means to experientially know, to encounter, to feel, physically, spiritually. I know some of us, we get a little weird about, Christianity's not about feelings. It's, we don't go by our emotions and stuff like that. I got something to tell you. God made your emotions. And you know why he made your emotions? Because you were destined to be a target of his love. He wants you to experientially know him through your emotions, through your body, through your spirit, your whole being. Sometimes we kind of, when we see somebody kind of get touched by God and they start freaking out, we kind of like, we get a little weirded out about it. You know, I'll be honest, I'm one of those people that's like, man, God, don't touch me like that. I don't want to look like that. I'm not like that anymore most days, just being honest with you, because I've been touched by his love, and it is worth looking like an idiot. It is worth it. So I want to hammer this thing in, because we come in a society, the American church, we come with a very intellectual way of knowing God. We're about knowledge, and knowledge is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I've got my master's degree, whatever, but that who cares? But knowledge is good. But experiential knowledge is what God's talking about. You know, John 17:3, it says that, you know, Jesus, same prayer. Jesus is talking to the Father here, and he knows the disciples are kind of like in earshot because I know that when they were writing down John was writing down this, the Holy Spirit was bringing to remembrance this prayer. And it says that Jesus is praying, God, and this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you and know the one you sent, Jesus Christ. Know. Yada, I believe it's yada. Somebody Google that for me. That same word, intimate, experiential knowledge. That is eternal life. We think of eternal life as like, oh, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be in the clouds. I'm going to be with the angels. I'm going to be, you know what I mean? But like, no, eternal life is actually experientially knowing God on an intimate level. That's eternal life. So when you got born again, you got saved. You got saved from your sin, yes. You got saved from the penalty of our sin, which is hell. But you got eternal life, which is this. Jesus defined it, knowing me intimately. That's eternal life. We will be spending eternity in heaven or on the earth, however, you know, when Jesus comes back, we will be spending eternity getting to know him intimately, experientially. We will never get to the bottom. Never. You will never exhaust the intimate knowledge of God. Never. We will be wowed every single second of who God is. We will spend eternity. That is eternal life. So that's how you know something that bypasses your brain. Because so many times we tell each other, how many times do we tell each other, God loves you. Lonnie, God loves you. And you, yeah, I know God loves me. Yeah, I know it in my head. I know he loves me. But this is a different kind of knowing. This is an experiential type of knowing. This is the will of our Father, that you would experientially know his love for you. The height, the depth, the width, the length. We will never get to the end of those dimensions, honestly. We'll spend eternity experiencing the love the Father has for us. And the cool thing about it is, like, God knows that we need it. And if God, who is a good Father, doesn't, like, you know, make us need something and withhold it from us. Do you know what I mean? A good Father doesn't do that, right? If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for, you know, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's a good Father. He knows we need to be energized and filled with the love of the Father. He knows and he wants us to operate in this life being fueled by the love of the Father. In everything that we do, I want to be a better father, but I know I can't be a good father unless I experience the perfect love of the Father. And that's been happening in my life. I'll be honest. As I experience how God the Father has loved me, I am enabled and empowered to love my kids the same way. Now, I don't do it perfectly. You ask my kids. But I'm trying. But I know it's impossible. I can't will myself to love my kids better. I can't do it. I can't will myself to love Lonnie. I need lots of love. I need lots of love. We can't love one another. That's why, and this just kind of a little tidbit, that's why when we pray for, like, God, unite us. Church, unite the churches. That is an awesome prayer. It's a good prayer. Jesus prayed that in John 17. But we cannot do that without the love of the Father. I can't be united with you unless I can love you. And I'm not going to be able to love you with the love of God unless I am filled with it. Does that make sense? You can love all you want with your human love, but that human love runs out quick. And it's based on human stuff too. We won't get into that. The Eros love and all the agape love. God's perfect love that lays down a life for one another. That love, we need to be filled by it continually. That will bring unity. You know, one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit, Azusa Street, it was literally like a microcosm of like society. We had, you had black, this was back in the early 1900s. You had black people, you had white people, you had Asian. I mean, it was, they didn't care about any of that stuff because they were filled with the love of the Father and they were in unity, loving one another. They were a family. That's God's heart. That's God's unity. The world's unity is not God's unity. You guys got to get that. God's unity. It's kind of like the world's peace is not God's peace. You know, and Jesus says, peace I give you, not as the world gives you. But the peace I have, I give to you. That's a permanent peace. That is unshakable peace. That is no facades. The world's peace is a facade. And it is not, doesn't last. Anyway, gosh, I'm going down rabbit trails. I do want to talk more about like this experiential love of the Father. We need to experience the love of the Father. And I'll be honest, like I've experienced God's love multiple times. I'm praying for more, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to share like the story. When I was in college, I had just really kind of gotten back to the Lord, maybe a couple years. I was maybe a Christian, kind of rededicated my life, going after the Lord for like 2 years maybe, and I was learning to play the guitar. I was chunking away at some chords, And me and my friend, another friend of college, we go in my dorm room and he get his guitar and he was teaching me chords and all this stuff because I began to experience God and worship in like crazy ways. I'm like, why do I have to wait and, you know, for like a worship, a Sunday morning service when I can just learn to play guitar and, you know, experience God in my own bedroom, you know? And so I'm like, dude, you got to teach me these chords. You got to teach me how to play these songs, blah, blah, blah. So we'd spend together just like worshiping God, and like, I mean, people would come to our dorm room, just kind of come listen, non-believers, believers, and like and believers would come, we'd worship together. And there was this one night we were just worshiping in there, and everybody just kind of like, it was getting late and people started leaving. My roommate fell asleep in his bed and my buddy, he left, who was teaching me guitar. But like the presence of God was so strong in our dorm room. It was just like, I couldn't stop. I was just like, God, I want you. I need you. I was just playing whatever. And the Lord, he told me, and I don't totally understand why he told me this, but I just did it out of obedience. He said, like, begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. So I was like, okay. So I got down and I was just beginning to pray in the Spirit. And like a couple seconds later, this thing came over me. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was like this heat and this fire came over me. It pushed me to the ground. I was on the ground, bawling and snotting and, you know, whatever, you know. And I was yelling at the top of my lungs. And I just remember my mind was kind of thinking, oh, my gosh, my room, I'm going to wake up my roommate, my dorm, you know, neighbors and stuff. They're going to think I'm crazy. You know, I look like what the heck is going on? That's what I was saying. I was like, what in the world's going on? And I just felt this heat and this fire just pouring over me. I was laying down on the ground, like in my face in the carpet, just crying, bawling. And I'm like, Lord, what in the world is going on? I was scared. I'll be honest with you, because I wasn't in control. You know what I mean? I like to be in control. And I couldn't control it. I couldn't control crying. I couldn't control this fire. I was literally, I felt like I was sweating and it was crazy. And I was like, God, what is going on? And he spoke to me, and I did not have my audible voice, but I trust me, like clarity between the Lord at this point was very clear. Like he was speaking, and he said, like, Paul, this is like just a little teeny, 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 tiny amount of love that I have for you. And I was just blown away. I said, God, you've got to stop. You've got, I mean, I'm telling you, I was scared. And and it did. He kind of like relieved, and it was just like I was just laying on the ground, just a big mess. My roommate was still sleeping. I don't know how, because I was yelling like, ah! And I got up, and I just heard him call my name. I don't know if it was audible. I don't care. I just heard him say, Paul, my son. I knew in my head that I was loved by God. I knew I had been taught since I was a little kid that God loves you. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells you so. And you notice in that song, it doesn't say because you experienced the love of God. You know, it's because you read about it. I was done reading about it. I knew I was loved. And I got this teeny, teeny, tiny taste of the love the Father had for me. And I felt like I was going to die. Can you imagine how much he really loves us? I mean, Josh was singing about it earlier. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, we sing these songs, but the reality of the love of the Father blows your mind. It is incomprehensible. You can't measure it. But you can experience it. You can experientially know it. He wants you to experientially know it. He knows you need it. He knows that you cannot do ministry. You cannot be Christian unless you receive the love of the Father. You are a target of the love of the Father. You are the very thing that he wants to pour out. You are an object of his love. You are a son. You are a daughter. So just kind of like nail it home, because I think sometimes we get, I've heard so many sermons about the love of God. I mean, we got so much head knowledge about the love of God. You know, we've heard probably heard sermons on the love of God more than anything else. But really, are we really walking in the experiential knowledge of it? We are a little. But I guess what I feel like the Lord's telling us this morning is like encouraging you, there is more. What you've tasted is just a teeny, teeny, tiny taste of how much you are really loved. Now I'm gonna pull in my dad here for a second. Like, my dad had this crazy encounter with the Lord probably about 8 years ago. I can't remember now. And Dad, if you're listening, I don't mean to pick on you. My dad grew up, and he was in a Methodist church. He had this crazy encounter with the Lord. The Lord took him up to heaven. He said the first thing, the most overwhelming thing, he felt the love of God like he had never experienced it before in his life. He said he felt like waves of this, love. I don't know if you guys know Charles Finney. Charles Finney describes it too. He called it like, when he had this encounter with the love of God, it was like liquid love. He literally felt like liquid love just like all over him. And it changed him. So that's one of the things. So why does God do this? You know, this stuff's cool and we can talk about it and, you know, mystify it and all that kind of stuff, but it's really practical. I'll tell you one thing. After I had that encounter in my dorm room, I was a changed man. I was changed. It marked me so much. My personality changed. You might say, God doesn't change you. He changed my personality. Now, I'm still kind of more type A and all that kind of stuff, but it was like he just softened my heart. So ask Heather. She knew me back then. Talk about sanctification. We try to drum up so much of like, oh, I got to change myself. I got to stop sinning. I got to like stop smoking cigarettes. I got to stop whatever, blah, blah, blah. I've got all this, got to stop eating this food. We have all these addictions in his life because we're so hungry for the love of God. You were made, if we experienced the love of God, the Father that he has for us, those addictions would just disappear. I'm telling you, they would disappear. Because those what those addictions are, you're searching for something. You're searching for intimate relationship with Jesus. Why do you think there's such a huge sexual, weird promiscuity, pornography, like craziness that's going on in our church? False intimacy. That's what that stuff is. They're not experiencing true intimacy with the Father. All right, I feel like this is like Father's Day, and we honor you, Father. And we can go more into this. I had this whole section too. I feel like we're supposed to maybe wrap this up a little bit. But I really there are things that like practically hinder us from receiving. And I just want to go through them right now. I feel like the Lord wants to do something, and these are real practical, easy things to do. First and foremost, and we talked about it before, is not believing that you're worthy. That is the number one thing that will keep you from experiencing the love of God. It's a vicious cycle. It's like, oh, I'm not worthy. I need your love though, but you need it to not feel not worthy, right, or whatever. You are worthy. You have been made worthy by the finished and accomplished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Period. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Boom. You're worthy. Don't believe the lie. Crush that lie the enemy tries to keep telling you over and over again. Or I don't feel it. I don't know. Number two, unforgiveness. When you refuse to forgive others, you can't receive forgiveness from the Father. This is Matthew 6:15. We talk about this a lot. You can't live in grace and then expect everybody else to be under the law. You can't live in both camps. You either live in grace or you live under the law. You can't have one foot in the other. That's why you can't receive. You got to live in the grace. We are not under the law. Forgive as you have been forgiven. You've been forgiven for a lot. Me too. Man, don't let that hinder you from experiencing more of God in your life. And number three, stop earning, trying to earn it, doing ministry, doing all this stuff, praying hard. Just stop. I feel like God the Father is just like, just stop. Mary has chosen the best thing, and it won't be taken away from her. The one thing. Sit at his feet. Receive. You are a son. You are a daughter. So let's make this practical. Man, I encourage you guys, do this. I encourage you guys, do this every day. You will have an encounter with the love of God. I guarantee it. The Word of God guarantees it. I encourage you guys, pray Ephesians 3, prayer. But more importantly, we just get in God's presence. Just sit there, get alone, and just say, Father, I am the object of your love. I want to experientially know the love that you have for me. So let's do that right now. I mean, we can do it. Let's make this real. Let's make this practical. However it helps for you to receive, to stand, stick your hands out. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. It's okay. Lay on the floor. Hey, we got carpet now. You can lay on the floor. But Father, we honor you. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good Father and that you love us. And we receive your love for us, God. Lord, we pray that same Ephesians prayer, Lord. That we would experientially know how much you love us. We would experientially know the intimate love and powerful love, the fire of your love for us. Lord, we want to be changed. And we want to pour back that love on you and on all those around us, Lord. To our community around us, Father. We want to be like Jesus, Lord. We want our ministry to be operating out of our intimate experiential love that we receive from you. Thank you, Lord, that there is no longer any separation between us. There is no veil anymore, Lord, that we can boldly come before your throne and sit in our daddy's lap and really get to know how good of a father you really are. So we honor you today, Father, on Father's Day. We love you so much. We are so grateful. We want to know you. Pour out your love over me, over our family, our church family, everybody here right now. Holy Spirit, just begin to minister the love of the Father. Break addiction, Father. Set people free, Lord, with the love of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. Lord, let that be a reality in our life. That your perfect love literally displaces all fear. Just pushes it out. We are so filled with your love, there's no even room for fear. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Lord, that we will progressively be getting to know the depth, the height, the width, the length of it for eternity. I pray, Lord, even this week that you would just set up, I don't know how you do it, Lord, but just set up encounters that people would just be at their job, people would just be like in their quiet time, but Lord, that you would just ambush them with your love. just Lord, like I do with my kid, just grab a hold of them when we're running by and just kiss on them, hug on them, Lord. We want to be close to you, God. You're a good father. And we love you.
Yeah, while we're in this place, I was thinking of what Paul was just praying about, perfect love and driving out fear. And as we were praying before service, we had this sense that the Lord was breaking things. And I had the sense that it was agreements. And as Paul was sharing today, I had this strong sense that when we experience the love of the Father that Paul was talking about, part of the experience is places where I have made an agreement with fear are broken. As it's driving out the fear, there are subtle places in my life. We talked about it last week, the whole toilet paper epidemic. You know, there was this fear of lack, and there was an agreement made somewhere along the line that God wasn't my good shepherd and all my needs were not being met, and it caused an action to happen and we saw craziness. And I feel like the Lord is saying there has been subtle agreements with fear that only his love can come in and break. Because anytime we make an agreement with something, there's going to be an action. Anytime we make an agreement, that fear of whatever, you fill in the blank for your own life. And as we are singing that line, he is jealous for me. It just stirred up something in me. And I feel like the Lord is jealous for those places in my life where I have agreed with fear or something other than him and his voice saying, I am beloved child. There's nothing I could do. Anywhere I've made an agreement with something other than that, it's going to create an action. It's going to make me become addicted to something, promiscuous, fall, just go off in a crazy direction. But when we have that voice wreck us, snotting on the floor, whatever it looks like. I love that you had that same experience. I had the same one at a Jonathan Helster worship night one time. And I heard an old guy in the background, the love of God's getting him. He was just like enjoying it so much. And I'm just, you know, leaving stains on the carpet. But something changes in you and it creates an action. I have all the knowledge in the world about things, but when you experience it, I can read all the health books in the world, but not a single health book ever made me get skinny. Don't you wish it was that way? Anyway, I'm digressing. But I just want to pray that over us, that the love of God would break any agreement that we have made with fear, that has made us act a certain way, that has made us a victim to lack, that it made us a victim to false intimacies, that has made us a victim to gluttony, whatever it might be. So Holy Spirit, right now, as we're in this moment, and our eyes are on you, and we acknowledge the fact that you love us unconditionally, Lord. We invite you right now, Lord, to love us perfectly. And Lord, I gave you permission to show any place in my life where I've made an agreement with fear that is changing the way I live and it's causing me to see this world incorrectly. I allow your love to come in and set my feet on a completely different path.
Amen. All right. Well, and I want to encourage you guys too, like, you know, that even that encounter that I had in my dorm room, it was just the beginning. You know, I could tell you lots of stories, and God showed up, his love. It was different facets of his love. I mean, we will never get to the bottom of it. Never. So I encourage you guys, like, keep pursuing him, that intimate time with him. Out of that naturally will come ministry. Out of that will naturally come sanctification. All that sin management that you've been trying to do in your flesh, it's done by the Spirit.
Thanks, Paul. That's an awesome word.